Welcome, everybody, to Heroes Asylum, issue 103. That's 103, right. Buddy. 103. We are in the triple digits, and yes, we are doing this on a Saturday night because guess what? Tomorrow night's the big game. So I figure nobody's going to be watching us, or and I know I won't be watching us because I want to watch the big game.
Yeah, I know you do. You got some vested interest. Your little quarterback.
Little bit. Yeah. Yeah.
Our hometown team. If you guys didn't know, we are from Orlando, Florida. So the Bucks are in the Super Bowl against, you know, wherever you guys are listening from, Kansas City. So I guess in honor of being from Florida, go Bucks.
Yeah, we're going Bucks. And of course, I'm a Patriots fan from back in the Bledsoe days. And so I am rooting for our boy Brady on this one. So hopefully he'll walk away with the fifth one. Granted, he's not the only player. I know somebody posted on Facebook a while ago or a couple of days ago that they were like upset that everybody's like, oh, Brady's the first time five, you know, time champion. Like, no, there's been other players, you know, before him. So
yeah, I think Charles Haley. Charles Haley had five.
Charles was one of them. Yeah.
That's one I can think of off the top of my head. And I think, that's the only one I could think of is Charles Haley.
That was the only one that I found, but I know I did see that there was a reference to a couple others, but that Charles is the only one that stuck out in my head. But yeah, I mean, it's great. It's going to be great for him, but yeah, he's not the only one. So yeah, I'm not a Brady Patriot fan. I'm a Patriot fan. So, but I'm rooting for him, even though he left us, the bastard. I think Jimmy Kimmel had the best one. He has a guy that dresses up like a little baby and does like a Patriot thing. And he had the best one. I hate him. I love him. I don't know what. I was like, yep, I'm right there with you, my friend. Right there with you.
Well, hopefully he'll win this one and he'll go off into the sunset. Like, yeah. I don't know. Guy's still playing at he's about our age. So got to give the guy credit for something.
Exactly. Yeah, I couldn't do that. Not now. All right, guys. So here we are. We're going to do like we do every week. We're going to do our weekly reviews. We talk about all the news that came out, anything that was on our Facebook page, any of our Facebook followers that are out there. Hey, guys, thank you for tuning in. We see a couple of folks out there. If you guys have any questions for us while we're doing all of this, just drop it in the chat. I see it. Kane sees it. We can chat with you guys while we're live as well. But we're going to start off like we unfortunately do every once in a while. We had a passing this week that falls – not just in like the geek world, but he was a big time actor, Christopher Plummer, or Arthur Christopher Orem Plummer was his name. Passed away at the age of 91. I mean, great life, great career for us, for the geek community. We know him from Star Trek, Undiscovered Country. He was on there, and oddly enough, most people don't realize this. He was actually a Trekkie before joining Star Trek. He was a fan from the 60s. So it was kind of one of his, you know, dreams, just kind of like Whoopi Goldberg was also a huge fan and, you know, joined with the Next Generation.
Yeah, it's funny. Like a lot of these fans who are actors and they want to join a series, you would think like, oh, I'm just a big fan. I just want to be there. Oh, they're actually like integral parts to the mythos of Star Trek. You know, Whoopi, when she was she's kind of like, I forgot her name on Next Generation, but she was like almost like a sounding board for Picard. And I always loved their conversations. Like it was towards the end, like he would be struggling with something internally and he would always go to her and he'd be like, well, look, you know, this is how you got to be it. And then Plummer, you know, oddly enough, he brought something to a Klingon, because to me, the Klingons were always like, I want to kill, murder, murder. But this Klingon in Undiscovered Country, he was more, I don't know what the word is, more thespian, Rasputin, like almost because he was quoting Shakespeare. Like you never saw a Klingon like that, especially towards the end, you know, to be like when he started reciting those words to Kirk. I thought he was awesome. That movie.
Yeah, he did. Great. I love the line when he says, you've never heard Shakespeare unless until you've heard it in Klingon. I think is one of the cooler lines in that. But him as an actor, he was familiar with Shakespeare. He did Othello. He did Macbeth, King Lear. He was a very well-known thespian. And Guinan, by the way, is who you were talking about for Whoopi Goldberg. She was more, I would honestly put her more to kind of Picard's conscience. She was every once in a while like his Jiminy Cricket, like, hey, I'm thinking of doing this. Well, did you think about this? Oh, no, I didn't. But
and she literally was like the bartender at the bar, wasn't she?
Yeah, she was just like a regular bartender. Hey, I'm here to listen to your problems. Talk to me. I might have a solution. I might not.
Yeah, I heard she's back too for the Picard series.
There's been rumors that, you know, because of a lot of other actors that come back, and she says she wants to. I'm sure Patrick Stewart would love her to come back, but again, it's just what they do and what route they take with this. But honestly, I got to tell you, the Plumbers, one of Plumber's last movies was amazing, hands down. Something you and I loved, Knives Out from Rian Johnson. Amazing, amazing movie. He did a great role. Everybody in there did great. I can't think of one bad actor on that.
Literally, that movie was written well for everybody. Like, everybody had like a little bit roles, and especially nowadays in Hollywood, where you have like these big, not big stars, but you have stars that command like a certain scene presence. But, you know, you go to a Rian Johnson movie, like every single person in that movie had their own individual role, but they all made it. They all carry. They had something to bring to the table. Like, you needed all of them. It's not like a one-person movie and what's going to be carried in, especially with Plumber. Plumber's basically the backdrop of that whole movie of what's going to happen going forward. So,
yep. So we want to send out a big bag of wind to his family and to him. That, you know, he will be missed. He was a great actor and a great addition to Hollywood. So,
yeah. Rest in peace, Christopher.
Next, we're going to do our TV reviews. We've got two shows going on right now, and I think one is about ready to exit the review. So we're going to go ahead and start with that one first. I'm sure we'll talk about it later on, and possibly in the near future, because I do know that they've been signed up for another season somehow. But Batwoman,
did they make a deal with the devil?
They must have. But Batwoman has survived. And has survived the cut, and they will be returning. So that is something we're going to talk about. So season the third episode of Batwoman. What did you think? Or no, second one. The second episode. I'm sorry.
No, I think it was third. I think you're right.
Okay,
it's the third one. Okay. The stuff with what's her name? Shafir. I forgot her name. The stuff with her and Alice. Really cool. Especially you go into the mythos and all that, you learn, like, you know, she came to that island to train how to fight, which is kind of cool. They're almost like the female League of Shadows. I dug all that stuff. All that stuff was great to me. The stuff with Rian is, I'm sorry. Like, I thought, they had Victor Zsasz on there. And again, they just can't seem to get Victor Zsasz right. I don't, like, they got the scars right, which is okay, cool. But, like, his overall demeanor, that's not Victor Zsasz. He's not very playful. Victor Zsasz is more, like, chilling.
Yeah.
If you guys play the Arkham games, you would know there's like a certain mission you would go on, and you literally would hear him. Like, you pick up a payphone and you hear his voice, like, it's Victor's ass. You know, can you stop the next killing? And it's just like just a chilling whole, like that whole little arc. If you guys haven't played, I think it's Arkham City out there. But this is not the Victor's ass I like. I want to give Rian Page two more episodes. Like, that's the Heroes of Asylum rule. We always give it five. But I'm telling you, I don't think anything in the next two episodes is giving me confidence. It's just, she's not. I think it was the idea of having a new Batwoman with no history. I understood why they did it because, so the fans don't have to go back and look in the comics. There's no history about it. We just make it up as we go along. But the thing about it is, I think that was a mistake because the biggest connection having to Bruce Wayne was kind of like the best part of that. Her, like, Kate writing to Bruce. And now you have Rian writing to Kate, you don't even know who she is. Why write to her? It just makes no sense, and it's just a disconnect for me.
Yeah, it is.
Like, I don't care about the poofy hair. I don't care about like the costume. I don't care about her driving the bat. You know what, the Batmobile? Remember, I had a big stink about it.
Yeah.
I don't have an issue with it. You know why? Because it reminds me of the Adventures of Batman and Robin Batmobile, which looks very similar to that, like almost like a coupe type. But the disconnect, I'm not gonna watch it anymore. It's called Batwoman. It's not called Alice and the Red Circle Gang or whatever they're just called. But just anyway, that's
well. I think that's the same issues that I think that we're having right now, especially with the future state with DC. We talked about this last week. I think DC future state. I'm not connecting with it. You're not connecting with that. And a lot of folks I talk to aren't connecting with it because, again, there's no connection to those people. The ones I connect to are the ones that are really. A continuation of the characters we've already known, you know, the ones that, you know, the detective one where it's a continuation of Batman, the Nightwing one is continuation of Nightwing. But then the newer players in the game that are taking up the mantles of other ones, the Wonder Woman one, I can't connect with that one. So I think the same thing happens with Batwoman. We didn't have anything to connect with. And I understand they're trying to pick up the pieces when your main actor bounces so quickly. If they would have had time to seed in this character and then show a relationship with her and Kate and then Kate vanish, I think that would have been great.
Then you have something. Yeah. Then when she's writing in the journals, it means something. And like, imagine if Ryan was introduced, like, let's say episode 15 last year, right? You know, a couple episode arc, you know, hey, you know, I saw you out there, you know, you have some potential, goes to some side missions with her. And exactly like you said, maybe they built up a friendship or something. She hires her at the bar, being a bar back or something. And then, hey, you know, I see something. And you see like scenes where her and Luke are talking, like, you know, there's this girl I'm working with, you know, she might be something to keep an eye on. Then you have something.
Yeah.
But, and like you said, you eloquently said with Future State and all that stuff, I like connections to the past. You know, you don't have to bring the past now, but as long as you have a connection to it, it's good. It makes me, as an older reader, like, okay, you know what? I can get behind something new because it's connected to this. But this is not connected to anything.
I honestly think if they would have paced it to where she finally got into the bat suit now, or maybe episode 4 would have been better.
Well, why not draw it out longer?
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. Like, let it draw out longer. Yes, we don't have. Shoot, I'm drawing a blank on her name. I can see her.
Ruby Rose.
Yeah, we don't have Ruby Rose, but you could have at least built in the characters with Luke and with her father, with, you know, Ruby's dad, and we could have that connection of this woman now sort of intertwining between them, but not in the suit yet. I think they jumped her into the suit way too soon. Give us a reason to care for the woman, and then in the character, and then throw her in the suit, and then there's a reason. There's now a symbol behind that suit. So,
and here's the big thing: if you watch episode 3, they alluded to Kate Kane still alive.
Yeah.
So they might recast her anyway.
Yeah,
they're thinking on the same way, but they're like, you know
they don't know what they're doing. And that's why when that news came out with this CW release. Re-signing, like The Flash, Batwoman, Riverdale.
The other series makes sense.
All the other series make sense, but this one was a shocker because I'm watching what they're doing. I understand that behind the scenes, CW already knows how the season's going to play out, so maybe something does play out down the road that we're not aware of, and that's what we're going to see. But right now, you know, when I saw the news, I'm like, I don't see this should be done.
I literally, when I was at work, when I was starting my new schedule, I wanted to text you at lunch. I was like, should I text him and ask him, like, what the hell is this crap? But I was like, you know what? I'm going to hold on to it. I'll save it till Saturday.
So we're losing Black Lightning on the CW. We're losing Supergirl on the CW. We are picking up, and I'm interested in this one, Kung Fu. This is the first true restart of Kung Fu. The first one was a continuation. This is a restart, you know. So I'm interested to see what route they take if they – how they do it. I mean, that's going to be the big thing. You know, female, male, I don't think that's going to be too much of a factor, but they need to really stick to the core of what Kung Fu was, as far as like its origins and everything. So I'd be very
interested. Do you think they go back to the West, or do they still in modern times?
That's the big trick. That's the thing. That was kind of the style. I mean, you got to realize Kung Fu, the Hulk, A-Team, they were all the same shows. They just had a different, you know, look to them. They were all traveling from town to town, helping the locals and moving on. And there was always somebody behind them. Got the Fox show, the werewolf, if you remember that one. The same thing.
Wow.
You
know?
I mean, that was one of my favorite shows when Fox first rolled out. I love that show. I thought it was Werewolf. It was so great.
Now I have to look that up.
don't hurt yourself. You might get a nosebleed going back that far.
Man.
But yeah, I'd be interested. I mean, I would love to see like a more of a Western style, but again, you have to realize the same thing that's happening with Star Trek will happen to that. It's in a new sensibility. It's a new time. We can't do Star Trek and those old shows anymore because our eyes are open. The world's a much, you know, much harsher place to us. So the shows are going to be a little bit harsher. So I don't know if they can go that route. I definitely want, and you know, they need to do, you know, I would prefer an Asian in there. I know he wasn't an Asian because he was an adopted. So I don't know if they're going to go that route, because then you got to watch out for that, because you might have, racial appropriation, you know, groups coming out beating on their door. So it's kind of one of those strange, like, it's going to really
come out anyway. So it's just like, you can't win. It's just like, I mean, I heard it was going to be a woman, but I don't know what they're going to do. So
we shall see.
And we'll check it out. I mean, I'll definitely check it out.
Speaking of a woman lead in a show, WandaVision, we have episode 5 of WandaVision, and boom, guys, I don't have a sounder. Let me see if that's a good one. Yeah, okay, we're gonna do an
applause.
We're going to do the applause for a spoiler alert, but yeah, we're getting ready to spoil some stuff here for WandaVision. It's been out for a day and a half now, so I understand that some of you have not seen it. So walk away, give us about 5 minutes, come on back.
No, give us about 10 minutes.
So what do you what did you think for the episode? And let's not we're not gonna hit the money shot yet. All right, we want to save the money shot. No. Okay, we're gonna build to that. All right. So starting off, what'd you think about the show?
Again, I think it's the best episode to date. I think each episode progressively gets better and better. We're still in that sitcom universe, but we're not now. We're seeing more stuff with Sword, which I dig.
Yeah.
And my boy Jimmy Woo, woo-hoo, which they're talking about doing a Jimmy Woo spinoff series with Kat Dennings. And let me tell you something. I'm all about it.
I did not see Kat Dennings' name in the in this right now. It's just saying him as an X-File style.
Do it.
So that just literally dropped today that they're talking. They're kicking around the idea within Marvel. Again, like I said, Kat Dennings was not in the list, but it would be awesome to have her. I think she just needs to. I love her so much as a character. She just needs to be sprinkled around. I think she should be the intertwined thing that goes through the next phase of the television series. Yeah, I really think that should be her. So
you could literally put her anywhere. She's an astrophysicist or something. Yeah. So you could literally put her. You could put her in Falcon Winter Soldier.
Well, you could put her. Well, with everything they're doing with the multiverse of madness is really the focus. This is the focal point of everything coming forward for the MCU. And like Thor said, you know, his magic is just science, used in a different way. So she could be the grounding science one in each show, and she could be talking to Thor, Doctor Strange or whatever route they go, you know.
Well, you've seen that in this series so far. She was the one that figured it out with that, you know, when she's mentioned those waves. I'm like, hey, give me an old TV set. So that thing you're saying about the science and magic mixing together, and she finds it the science part.
Yeah,
that's already been there. Yeah, she's already done that. So that makes a lot of sense if you want to go forward and put her, you know, sprinkle her in, as you said, in all these series. But it begins with that, you know, you're still getting that sitcom-y thing again. The stuff with Sword is amazing. I did like a particular scene where Jimmy Woo and Kat Dennings are talking about who is the strongest Avenger is. And they're mentioning like, oh, well, you know, that fight with Thanos, who do you think won? He's like, well, Wanda really gave her a show. And then Jimmy Woo was like, well, Captain Marvel kind of gave her a hit. What do you think? And the look on Monica's face was like, she didn't say a word. Yep,
instant. So there, you know, there's going to be more tie-ins for her. So I think Marvel
has some beef with Monica.
Well, I think Captain Marvel's the second one. I think we're definitely going to see something, and hopefully we're going to see her maybe pick up the mantle, if not of that character, but of her other characters that she did post Captain Marvel. What,
Spectrum, Neon, or something?
She had so many that she did. Yeah, there's so many that she did. But yeah, it would be interesting if she did that. But yeah, I like that fact that there's something there. She knows of Captain Marvel and she's not happy about it. So there's drama that we aren't seeing yet.
I heard a theory, which is interesting, on one of the YouTube chat rooms. I mean, take it for what it is, a grain of salt, but what if, and I don't know how this would make sense logistically, but what if, you know, they say that she came back, her mom died of cancer. What if, you know, Elder Rambo being around, you know, Captain Marvel gave her that cancer, like, and she didn't even know. That's what I'm saying.
I mean, it's kind of a stretch because then you can say then Nick Fury should have it, then Monica should have it. Somebody's reaching for straws at that point to just try to tie a connection. Yeah. I think the rest of the show was great. We're starting to see Vision like picking up on things. He's starting to figure out what's going on. We're seeing the backside now of Sword, the main reason I love this is that we got a mix of the first three episodes and episode four. Like five was like a perfect mesh of the things that came before.
Both worlds, yeah.
Because we got to see both worlds. We got to see him interact. I love the scene when Wanda comes out of the temporal area, and she's she's dragging the bomb or whatever she was dragging out, and she like tossed it away. Yeah, and then her power, how she was able to just like make everybody like turn the guns I instantly thought of Kylo when he paused the blast. Yeah. I was like, oh.
I don't want to say what I was going to say because we have, you know, kids maybe listening to this, but that's almost like when you want to compare like certain sizes of certain things, like, hey, want to see how big this thing is? Guess what? Yeah. I'm bigger.
Yeah. And again, it more and more cemented the thought. I'm just saying the thought and the hinting of that she is the one in total control. I'm still on the fence with it because there's other things that were hinted about. Your theory was kind of poked at, and then another theory was poked at. I honestly think they're just like teasing everybody and giving little hints of different things.
It's going to be something that's not even that we never even thought of. Yeah. I think that's what it's going to be.
And I got to tell you the coolest scene was the post end game scene when they showed her going to find what happened to Vision. Oh, and I thought that like tied everything together. I was like, oh my God, that's what happened. That explains that little argument discussion you and I had. I was like, it was wrong of them not to have a memorial for Vision and for Scarlet.
Now you know why.
It was like, now, or not Scarlet, but Black Widow. I was like, now we know why. And then seeing her just walk in there, just, you know, fucking wreck house.
And then you know why, that the Vision in that world is a Vision that she created.
Yeah.
Because the Vision that was killed was in pieces.
Yeah.
You saw him on the, it was literally in pieces.
I bet you that's Vision. It's just, he's just put back together with her magic. I bet you that's his body and everything.
That's what it is. Like, that's not the Vision that, like, the real Vision is dead. This is a Vision she created from his broken parts. Like, when you saw the zombie Vision, that was just a Vision of him, of what she saw. And then it flipped away back to the Vision that she created. So that's what I'm thinking. It's just like the real Vision dead, but she created this Vision.
See, we got a question here. Do you think Vision is going to survive WandaVision, or is he going to be dead again? That's a good call. That's a good question, man.
I think he's going to survive. You don't have Paul Bettany in that role.
Yeah, you, kill him all. Yeah, you don't. Yeah, I will. Yeah. For that reason, I think something's going to happen with the Multiverse of Madness that's going to bring him back around.
Like I said, he's too big of a character to leave, you know, 9 episodes and then see ya. No, I think he'll be around. I'm not sure if he's going to get his own standalone movie, but I think he and Wanda will be around, especially like you were just saying with Kat Dennings. I think you'll see Vision in a couple movies here and there, sprinkling him in. So yeah, you don't bring him back just to kill him again.
Exactly. Which brings us up to the, I guess I'm going to call it the money shot, post the pre-credit, you know, drop. You don't bring somebody back without doing something more, or do you think it's just a tease to bring back the Quicksilver from the X-Men universe, the Fox universe?
There are so many theories. Is this the Quicksilver from the X-Men universe?
Who's the actor?
Or is this it is the same actor, or is this another, like at first you didn't even recognize who he was, and then he's like, is that Pietro?
Yeah.
Funniest line though, Kat Dennings. They recast Pietro.
Yeah, she recast him, and I was like, "That's awesome." Kat is us in that universe. You know, she is us right now.
I just love how they tie that stuff together because, you know, like a fan is like, "Is that?" And then Kat just basically speaks for the audience right there. Yeah. I mean, is that Mephisto disguised as Quicksilver? I mean, I don't know. Like, this is a world that's created by Wanda's fractured Wanda. They were trying to give her the nickname of Scarlet Witch, but I think that's going to come after the series.
They were teasing that, you know, like, you know, well, didn't she have, what was her name when she was doing that?
Wanda makes it. Like, okay. And their theories of the director of S.W.O.R.D. is Mephisto. I don't know, but that
so
was
many,
cool. Yeah,
there are so many theories out there. It's not even funny. That's why I can't wait till we get into other shows, when we get into, you know, I'm trying to blank here, with Winter Soldier. And Falcon Winter Soldier, and then we get into the Iron Wars. Or, you know, I can't wait to see that.
It's just so much good stuff they're doing. We got another question.
Yeah, we got another one. Did you see X-Men being introduced by then? I could see some of that because we talked about that Patrick Stewart went in for a meeting with Kevin about Professor Xavier, and they talked about it.
By the way, thank you, Leonard Poole, for the questions. Appreciate that.
Yeah, thank you. So we were talking about that, and, you know, he was saying that, yeah, he, if it wasn't for doing Logan, he would come back, but because Logan was basically his love letter, and also Hugh Jackman's love letter to the fans for that, they were both done with it. I can see the X-Men, that Quicksilver, that story, or that timeline coming in. So I could see them. They're young enough, and you can bring them in I think that would be perfect for them to bring in.
Like you said, yeah, they are young enough.
Yeah, bring in the first class series of X-Men that we have, and have that group come in. I think that's perfect, and that's what I think they were kind of hinting at, to see the that Quicksilver come in.
What about the comments that Elizabeth Olsen said that there's going to be a Mark Hamill type cameo in this series? What if it's Professor X? What if it's freaking Magneto?
It could be.
Michael Fassbender? Because I don't think this cameo by Quicksilver was the Mark Hamill type cameo.
No, it's great. I think I'm here. What if it was? But that's still. I think so. I mean, crossing streams and that, it's crossing that over from Fox to Disney, which we said that you and I argued about this. You're like, yeah, they won't do that. They won't.
I know, I was totally wrong.
They may. You know, it's like you always say. You always say, you know, Feige, we trust, and you got to trust the guy. He's doing right. He's got the right guys behind him, getting this all done. So you know, so hopefully we'll see. But yeah, amazing show.
Yeah, great. I can't wait to see what's going forward, because it's literally. Remember the first year Disney Plus came out, the only thing they had was The Mandalorian, and they had these other series, and people were pissed off. Like, you know, there's nothing on here now. Like, you had to literally wait.
Mm-hmm.
And now you have The Mandalorian, like, season 3 coming up. Now you have this. You know what? That $9.99 you're spending a month, or $7.99, or I'm getting it for free, because I don't know how about you people, but every month is going to be worth it now, because now you're getting some good tantalizing stuff every single week now. So I love it. And I can't wait till we see episode five, right?
Five we just watched. Six we've got coming out. Yeah.
Yep. Can't wait.
Yep. Dan, speaking of Mando, guess what Mando's getting? Has been nominated with Golden Globes.
Yay!
And a WGA nod for, I think it was Best Drama, I think, or what is it? Monthly, let's see here, included for Best Drama for last fall's run. So that's awesome. To actually see Mando pop up in there. Let's see, we got another question here. I don't. I don't know.
See, I was thinking Fassbender, Lennon.
I'm thinking Fassbender more.
I don't know about Ian. I don't think he's. I don't know what he's doing now. But I think it's gonna be Fassbender.
Yeah, I like your thought process on that.
He's going big swings, man. This guy.
All right. So we're looking Mandalorian. Getting Golden Globe knobs. I think that's great. You know, we've already gotten the comic book world in the Emmys or in the Oscar field. Now we're getting a little nod. So finally, you know, chipping away slowly. It's not just fanboy stuff. It's not just kid stuff. There's real drama and real stories behind these things. And that's why you're seeing, like we've always talked, especially on the Midnight Movies, we've always talked about, you know, some of these big actors that we see on showing up for the MCU. You know, there's real stories behind there, real heart behind these stories.
Yeah, there's not just the mustache twirling end of the world, you know, same routine that we had for years. Now you're getting, like you said, we're getting stories. We're getting like in-depth characters. Like literally the MCU built 13 years off of this stuff.
Yep.
And you wouldn't get the actors like Robert Redford. Dude, we got Robert Redford in the MCU film.
Yeah.
There you go.
Well, Redford doesn't surprise me. Redford's one to really support. I mean, he runs the Sundance and everything. He's one I would always, I'd always say he's a he was. But when you're pulling like the other ones, I think are, you know, were really big for me.
Which ones are that?
For like Odin's wife.
Oh yeah, Anthony Hopkins. Yeah. Even Renee Russo, she was in there too.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, sorry.
It's funny, you know, we were talking about like, you know, with a disconnect, like, you know, bringing older actors with newer actors. And I think that's the best thing that the MCU does. They bring stuff from the past that you've seen these actors in other things, but they're bringing them with newer people. Kind of like the first Thor movie. You didn't know who Chris Hemsworth was. So what do? You surround him with people you do know, right? You know who Anthony Hopkins is. You know who Renee Russo is.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, who's the other? Who's Hemdale? You know who he was, because I think he was on on Luther for a while. So, I mean, not Housel, but you know who they are. And that's kind of like the Dick Donner Superman thing. You know, you don't bring on an unknown, but surround him with talent.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, surround them with the best talents they can find. And that's, you know, that'll be your focal point. We got another question here, actually. And it looks like
– Hey, Lennon.
He talked about a character like Gambit being a big role for the X-Men because of his powers. And honestly, I think so. There is still talks and works in behind the scenes with a possible Gambit. I think I know there was one working with Channing Tatum as Gambit.
I would love to see Gambit in this universe. I don't know how they're going to do it. I think we saw a short film a while ago. I think I posted on the page.
Oh, yeah. I was going to bring that up. Yeah, that short film.
Great. Which was amazing. And I was like, if they did a Gambit movie like that, kind of like a heist film,
yes,
it'd be freaking awesome. But I don't know if they're going to bring him in the MCU right away. That's kind of like, yeah. I hate saying this. And maybe if you guys are going to get mad, but I think Gambit's sort of like a C character. I don't consider him like an echelon. Like his whole thing with Rogue kind of brought him up a B. It's kind of like when you're dating the hot chick, you're a 5 and she's a 10. So you get brought up to a 7. That's kind of what it is was with Gambit. No, I like how I put that equation. that's basically, he's kind of a C level character. I don't see him like down road. I don't think they have plans for him, but it'd be cool. I would love
to see Gambit. Honestly, I could see Gambit being the MCU streaming service character. Like when they roll X-Men out, they're gonna roll the big dogs out and do the big, they'll be on the movies. I could see Gambit getting a show. Like him and Rogue doing a show, or just him following through his, you know, through the Guild of Thieves and, you know, like the backstory in New Orleans.
I got a friend who lives in New Orleans and she tells me about that all the freaking time. Like, oh my god, like they have these crypts and all that stuff, and like, and then Mardi Gras, like, dude, that'd be awesome.
I can definitely see that for Gambit. But so let's see. What do you got next? I know I pulled a couple of them out. So what do you have on your?
Apparently Ryan Coogler has been attached to doing a Wakanda series for Disney Plus. Our boy Chadwick. No details have been said about this Wakanda series, but I have a couple ideas what they could do. Because I don't know when this series is going to take place, and I know they are doing Black Panther 2. I was thinking, since at this moment, unfortunately, Chadwick passed, right? So at the moment, we have nobody who is ruling Wakanda. There's nobody on the king's seat. Why not have like a battle for the throne type thing? Why not have like the Wakandan tribes, like the River Tribe, the Merchant Tribe, Border Tribe, Mining Tribe, Mountain Tribe, all these guys together, like choosing their own type of representatives, battling for the throne of Wakanda.
Basically having to make a show out of the first like 10 minutes of Wakanda when he had to battle for it.
Yeah. You could do a whole series with that.
I think they wanted to get more into the depths of what Wakanda is and what the people are going through.
Yeah, and that's how you could do that with those individual tribes. You could see how they live, what they're doing, like technology. Like one tribe is living this way. Why does one tribe live that way? And the other one, and you could introduce some really cool Black Panther characters. Like you could do Achebe, you could do Malice. You could do Nojabu. Nojabu is like a newer character.
Yeah.
But he's a former prince of Wakanda. So that's kind of related to the throne. Maybe you throw him in there.
Is he related to the guy from Major League?
No, he's not related to Jobu. This is Nojabu.
Nojabu. Okay. I honestly think what they need to do is like they were talking about it, he wanted to open the world up to, you know, Wakanda, open it up to the world, you know, and they made a comment about, you know, having a Starbucks. I think it'd be great to see like Umbaku be like a Batista or a barista at Starbucks. I think that's what the show should be based around. Awesome. And have a friends theme going on with it and stuff.
All the five tribes.
Yeah, we got another question.
Sorry, Lennon.
Sorry for saying so much, but no, man, we love this. We love interacting with folks. Keep going. But he'd love to see Punisher introduced in Deadpool 3. Ooh, that's a nice idea. Love the Netflix. Yeah, no, we both love the Netflix series. There is talk. I mean, we've already seen it right now with Daredevil, Charles, what's his name? Charlie Cox. Seeing him. He's going to be in Spider-Man 3. We already know that. But there's talk of him coming back into one of the streaming services. She-Hulk. I think that was talk because
Christian Ritter.
Yeah, because she's an attorney. What makes more sense to have her and Charlie, you know, battle it out in the courtrooms as well as maybe, you know.
And you can literally see like She-Hulk representing representing Christian Ritter's character. I forgot her name, man. What was her? Jessica Jones.
Yeah.
Like Jessica Jones is always in trouble with the law. So why not have one of them? representing her.
Yeah, and they're talking with her as well now. So again, I think we're going to see, like, I don't know what your kind of your idea that you do like the Netflix. There is big heavy talk of with Kevin bringing in that, which is smart. They don't have to create and do origin stories for these. It's already been done. They don't have to spend the money to make these characters anymore. They all they need to do is just drop them in a story and bam, there they are. We know who they are. You know who they are. You know, anybody that's ever had Netflix knows who they are. And it's
They live in that world too. They don't, I mean, they never said about it, but they talked about the incident. They talked about a guy with a shield, a green guy. So it was never mentioned by name, but they're in the world. Yeah. We know they're in the world. So, and it's the easiest way. Now, to throw Deadpool in there with the Punisher would be kind of interesting because you talk about like two opposite sides of the coin.
Yeah.
you have John Bernthal's Punisher, who's grizzled, mean, you know, former war hero, no war hero, but just war person. And then you got Deadpool. I think it's like,
it honestly, it literally would be him and Cable. It would literally be like him and Cable because you got the same kind of character.
Punisher's a little bit darker though.
Yeah. Yeah. Cable. Yeah. Yeah.
That's the thing. And I think it'd be more fun. Can you imagine him trying to make the Punisher laugh?
Oh yeah.
That'd be hysterical. Him showing up like crime scene, like, hey, what are you doing? You're gonna kill a mob boss today? Come on, we want to do that today, Frank. Shut up. Like, just like weird stuff like that.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah,
that'd be kind of cool because it would basically be the relationship that I wanted because they didn't really have that with Cable in that movie. I thought he was good Cable.
Josh Brolin.
Thanos. Yeah, Thanos. I thought he was a good Cable, but I just thought he didn't have enough relationship with Deadpool in that movie. It was there, but it wasn't like at the end it was there, like when he's saying, oh, you know. I'm going to give you this when he's doing his death speech, which I thought was great. I mean, but just have it with this character, I think it'll be a little bit better because he's just so grizzled and, you know, he doesn't smile at all. But
so what? I got a question for you. What do you think? Yeah. Justice League being R-rated movie, do you think forcing?
You don't need it to be R. Exactly. I think it is a force. And who rated it, by the way?
Let's see here.
It's not going to theaters. It's just going straight to streaming.
Well, you still have to put a rating on it. Even television shows that go out into regular networks, you have to have a rating of some sort to.
You know what? I'm gonna say this, and I'm a big Justice League mark.
Oh, I know. Yep, you're the big one.
I think it reeks of desperation to make it R.
Thank you.
It just says like
I'm not the one that said it. You are. Thank you.
It does. Like I'm saying, and look, I want to see the Snyder Cut more than anybody. I was one of those people who voted to see it. But to me, it just reeks of desperation. Like, hey, please, it's going to be rated R. You know, Batman's going to say the F word. Like, no, man, I don't care. Just leave it PG-13.
I don't need to see Batman say the F word. I already saw Dick say the F word.
They're going to have like a scene where Darkseid stabs somebody through the heart and like eats, like looks at the heart like a. Indiana Jones and Temple of Doom. I'm more stupid. Like, no, man, I don't care.
Yeah.
It doesn't really matter. Just make it PG-13. Throw in the extra scenes. Let's go.
Yeah.
By the way, a plug. Ham is doing midnight movies. We're going to do the Justice League in March. So look for that.
Yes, definitely. Yeah, that's a long overdue for us.
Oh yeah, that's going to be a fun one.
Yeah. So what else you got?
Henry Cavill is not going to be in Shazam 2, or is he?
Like you and I were talking in the green room, I've seen other reviews going on or other reports that he is. And then like an hour later, I'll see he's not. And then I'll see an hour later he is. So I'm not sure. I think he is going to be in it, but not as Superman.
As Clark?
Possibly. I'm thinking possibly as Clark. Yeah.
Or maybe you're just going to see him on like a newspaper.
Maybe that's one of the reviews or articles I read was they were talking that he will be there, just not as what we think he's going to be at. Because you know how they do it. They whenever an actor that played a character is going to be in a movie, they're like, oh, well, he's going to be in there playing the superhero role. No. He might just be playing his secret identity. But everybody's like, oh, he's playing Clark Kent Superman. No, he's probably going to just play Clark Kent. You know, and just have it that. And I think that might be what we're going to see. That's why I think we're getting two mixed things going on there.
Well, are they going to explain how he's alive? Clark Kent, because, you know, they had a whole newspaper thing that he died. So I'm just wondering. They had a funeral for him and everything. And, you know,
who knows? They kind of have to explain it. Well, just like they explained it in the comic books.
We're going to forget about it?
Well, no, in the comic books, what happened, I know they can't do it in this world. Well, maybe they can now since they are introducing a Martian Manhunter into Justice League. They had Martian Manhunter dress up or change to look like Superman and Clark went and go and dug himself under,
you know what,
under the rubble. And they're like, oh, look. And then they're, whoop, look, we're taking pictures of Superman and Clark Kent together. End of story. Done.
Okay. That's fine.
Until you become Michael Bendis and screw that up.
I didn't put two together when I thought about Martian Manhunter. Sorry.
Again, yeah. But again, he's not introduced in the world yet, but he is. There's talks with him in the Justice. And I don't know how much. Or in the Snyder Cut, and I don't know how much. Let's see, we got another one from Lennon, man. Let's see here. I'm not the biggest fan of the DC movies. It's okay. You know, now everybody's, you know.
It's a fresh restart of a new Batman.
But, yeah.
And keep the rest except Joker. Well, I think that's what they're doing, Lennon. I mean, if you watch the DC fandom thing that came on a year ago, they had Walter Hamada on there. They had the guy in charge of the CW shows. Berlanti was on there. And they had, I think Jim Lee was on there.
Jim Lee, well, Jim Lee's president.
They discussed this whole question by saying that all these movies take place on individual universes. The Batman film by Matt Reeves takes place in one universe. The Snyder Cut film takes place in another part of the universe. You know, it's all like different multiverse. They basically admitted the existence of the multiverse there. You know, so you can, I mean, I think you're going to still have connectivity on these universes somehow. But there's a multiverse of stuff, and I agree. Like the Joker film that you don't like, it's a part of another multiverse. It doesn't exist in the current, like, you know, mythos and anything. It's part of its own world.
It's if you're familiar with, you may not be familiar, you may not like the DC movies, but if you're familiar with anything DC comics, there's the Elseworlds where they have different things taking place, or just even in the CW where they talk about the multiverse. These are multiverses. That Joker exists in his own little world. There's no Superman. There's no Batman yet. But it's just Joker right now. And the same thing, you know, goes for when you look at Suicide Squad, the movie beforehand with James – or not James Gunn. Shoot, drawing a blank on the actor's or the director's name. But the first one with Will Smith, that movie, you know, that's going to be standing in its own universe. But I think it's still hinted into this one. So, yeah, it's kind of one of those things. They are trying to crossover, and they used to never do this. That was something that Warner Brothers and DC – had a stamp that said nobody can – if television has a plan for Superman, movies can't touch them until that time runs out. And that used to cause so many problems, and that's why we didn't get a lot of shows or in movies from DC and WB, because for years it would be locked in development.
And they were too tight in their continuity. That's the thing. They always wanted to keep it one central thing. And when we saw this last year, I think you and I were like, we were just cheering, like, yes.
Well, I'm cheering yet that they're loosening up. I think they're getting a little too loose, because I think it's something I've always mentioned is I think it's going to confuse your casual moviegoer. And then if you confuse the casual moviegoers, they're not going to want to go because they're not sure which one we're going to see. I think they just need to tighten up a little bit, and I think they'll be fine, which I think is what they're doing. Right now they're in the corrective process, I believe. Mm-hmm. To correct whatever freak out they had when Justice League crashed and burned. They're like, oh my God, we got to change everything. No, you tripped. Pick yourself up, brush yourself off, move forward, stick to your plan. I think if they would have stuck to their plan, they would have been doing just fine right now. But I
agree.
Marvel, going back to Marvel, Blade just announced that they're getting a writer Stacy Ossia Kofauer. I'm butchering that, and I do apologize. But she is a writer from Watchmen, the HBO series, which I was in love with. Loved Watchmen. I love the issues. It's talked about the political and the cultural issues, and I think that needs to be in Blade a little bit because of the character he is, and that he is a person, a great character in two worlds. You know, he is half – he is the Daywalker. He's half human. He's half vampire. And what better way to also, you know, direct and kind of talk about, you know, some racial issues with being half and half as well. I can see her doing a lot of great undertones of that story. Most people forget. They get all mad when they see Star Trek nowadays putting political stuff in there. It's been there since day one. That's what Gene Roddenberry did. He could not talk about racial issues or political issues.
But he spoke through it.
But he spoke through it. I think I can't remember the name of the episode, but the episode where it was one race has white face on this side and black face on the other, and the other race had black. Yeah, they were mirror images. He was talking about race. but he got away with it because of science fiction. And I think even today we still need to you know, talk about those things. That's what sci-fi has always been, you know, it's always been a way of talking about what's in politics.
It's almost been like a metaphor, mm-hmm. Like a hidden thing. Like, hey, we're not talking about this, but we are kind of talking like this, but we're talking through it through this. Mm-hmm. So, and that's been the way since forever. So it's nothing new.
Yeah, no, it's nothing.
Like, we've seen this before. So,
but yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing her go on there. I thought how that writing group, I know it wasn't just her, but she was a writer for Watchmen. I loved how they picked up the pieces that Watchmen left and went, okay, we're going to go, you know, 20 years, I think it was.
It was like 30 years.
Okay. I can't remember the exact time frame. But, you know, they jumped ahead and they picked up the pieces and continued on with a great story. And I love that. And I can't wait to see what.
And again, the thing about that Watchmen series is they took stuff, the connectivity of the past, and they brought it to a newer audience while bringing in new characters. There's the formula right there. That's going to mm-hmm. make me watch it. Like, you had Ozymandias on there. You had Dr. Manhattan on there. Spoiler if you didn't watch it. You didn't have Rorschach on there, but you had a themed Rorschach, almost like terrorist group, which I thought was awesome, which is great. I think you had Saturn Girl on there. I said that's her name. She was a little bit older, but yeah. And they alluded to Night Owl. He wasn't there, but they alluded to him being in jail. Yeah. So there's a lot of connectivity down there. And I thought that's what was so good about it is they brought these newer characters on there, plus the racial issues and the tones and all that, mm-hmm. which I thought fantastically wrapped up in the end. And that's why they're not going to do a season two. I know people have talked about it's like one of those things I'm going to have to jump piggyback on you, not literally because, you know, I'm 185 pounds, but that's one of those series that, you know, when it's kind of like you said with The Boys, you thought it should have ended after season two.
Yeah.
I think, you know, this Watchmen series ending after one season is perfect. You don't need to make season two.
Same thing they did with Legion. You know, they did that with Legion. They did it with Battlestar Galactica, the Reimagined. They had a beginning and an end. You stuck to it. You just do it. And I think that's perfect. And the showrunner for Watchmen, you know, made that comment. Listen, I told my story. I got in. I got what I needed to do. And I'm moving on. And that's perfect. Because that leaves a legacy right there. A perfect season. Done.
Yeah. You don't need to go for it. Even though they're throwing truckloads of money out to do it. Yeah. But Damon Lindelof is like, nope, I don't want to do it.
Yeah.
Good for you, Damon.
Good. Yeah. So what you got next?
Hey, do you remember the man who dropped to Earth?
Yes.
Yeah, that's the old one of David Bowie where he's like the alien drops from Earth. Not the man from Earth. That's the one of the Ham reviews or Ham things we did a while ago. But they're doing a reboot, and Chiwetel Ejiofor is going to be playing the David Bowie part.
Nice.
So it's going to be either a streaming service or a movie. They don't know yet, but it's one of the two. But like we always said on the show. Anytime you get talent, never a bad thing. And Chiwetel Ejiofor is one of our better actors right now. So adding him into the David Bowie role, I think, is great. I mean, you're going to have it. Look, regardless, it's not going to be the man who fell from Earth from the 70s because that's a different time.
And nothing can be because it's Bowie.
It's Bowie. You know, but you have Chiwetel. He's going to add a little bit of edge, a little bit of thespian type acting and go from there. Like I said, never a bad thing to have talent. No. Never a bad thing. And him getting on there, mortal himself.
Yeah.
It could be a cool series. Like I said, there's a lot of ideas you could do. Like that whole idea of a man who fell to Earth like an alien. And he's, you know, he's being pulled in different directions. Like, hey, you know, you should do this while you're here. No, you should do this while you're here. It presents a lot of options. You could, like a lot of things. Like imagine if he landed in Washington, D.C. He learns nothing. And like the government picks him up like, hey, you know, I'm going to use him as a tool. Like, look at this. Or what if he lands in like Kansas? You have the Superman thing. He's like, this is what America's really about, like family and all. Like, there's a lot of things you could go in this.
Or he lands and he thinks he's supposed to take it over and turns into Brightburn. I mean, we can.
Well, hey,
I mean, you can go. That story can go so many different ways. And again, it goes back to something I've always talked about, and one of my favorite early '90s comic book series that didn't last too long, but Icon. You know, Icon was just that. He fell to Earth, landed in the South during the, you know, deep Civil War, and he was realized he was brought up by slaves, so he morphed himself into be that. And so you can, same thing can go, you know, depending on wherever he lands, he can absorb and acclimate himself to that culture and that society and see where it goes from there. I think it'd be a pretty cool idea.
Yeah, it's definitely a good idea, and I can't wait to see where they go with it. No release date yet, but he's attached to it, so like that's I said, good. That's good. What you got?
Speaking of attachments, guess who has been definitely confirmed for Spider-Man 3? We have Andrew Garfield is confirmed. We have gotten a confirmation that Garfield is confirmed, as well as somebody was seen wandering the set this week.
Would that be Mr. William Dafoe?
Yes. Now, this is just rumor, not the rumor that he was there. He was there, but it's just rumor that who's he coming back as? I believe he should just come back as Norman. I don't think we need a Green Goblin moment.
God, no.
You and I know you've had your rants about the Green Goblin.
Boy.
Maybe they do it right. That would be awesome. But I think we're just really going to see, because we are getting the crossover. This is going to be the crossover event. We're going to see multiple Spider-Mans. This is basically the live actions into the Spider-Verse, I think, is what they're really gearing towards. Spider-Man himself, you know, Tom, he talked about, you know, posted that this is like a big undertaking that they're doing. And I'm definitely believing him because he went through Endgame. So if he's, you know, if Tom Holland's telling you, hey, this is a big thing, I'm going to kind of believe him on that. And the rumors that we've been hearing about, you know, definitely William Dafoe was on set. We definitely know William or Andrew Garfield's back. Still no confirmation on Tobey Maguire yet. He's still
he'll be the tough one to get in there, because I don't think he's been doing much lately. But if they get him in there, I mean, it'd be great. Yeah. I hope so. I really hope, and I hope Dafoe's in there too. Hell, I hope what's his name? James Franco comes back. I don't care. Like, bring him back too. Bring back the butler who discovered everything. The butler knew everything, by the way.
Yeah.
He heard of all those problems with Peter and Harry all along because he knew what happened. Well, I don't know why he didn't open his mouth, but bring him back. Just go for it. Even bring back Gwen Stacy. I'm not sure if there's any rumors about her.
I think there is. I think there was rumors with bringing back Gwen and that Spider-Man from Amazing Spider-Man, which, to be honest, I would prefer that than the Tobey Spider-Man, to be honest. I have nothing against Tobey. To me, Andrew was a better Spider-Man. I know my son, if he hears this, he will lynch me and do patricide. But yeah, I think Andrew Garfield was a better Spider-Man.
I think we've talked about that before. Andrew was was always the better Spider-Man. Tobey was the better Peter Parker.
Right.
That's always been my thing.
Yeah.
And Tom is a hybrid of both. That's why he's so good. So, we got another question?
Yeah, I did. Sorry. I'm sorry, Lennon. I was so involved in what we're doing here. So who would you like to see set up a main characters as Cap, Iron Man aren't there anymore, including the X-Men characters or the Fantastic Four? Well, you throw the Fantastic Four in there. That's right there. That answers the question for one of the lead characters. I would definitely say Reed Richards would be like the – I think we need a – yeah, I think we need a lead on that side, especially if they can get Krasinski to do it. I think he's the one that should.
He should do it. I don't want the young Reed Richards. I want a grizzled Reed Richards. I want an intelligent Reed Richards. I want a guy who knows his shit.
Well, Reed Richards is smart. He's supposed to know his shit, so.
Yeah, like I'm just saying, like, I don't want to, like, you know, I just don't want a punk kid like we got in that other Fantastic Four. I want, like, a guy who knows what he's doing. I want the Fantastic Four to be older, not younger. I don't want them to be baby kids. So, yeah, I would like Reed. I mean, I don't think we're going to see the X-Men for a while. I know I'm saying that, and we just had Quicksilver show up on the freaking WandaVision, but then again, I could be wrong. I could be dead wrong. Like they keep saying the X-Men are years away, but we got Quicksilver. I mean, who's this cameo in WandaVision we're going to see later on?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we still have that cameo they're talking about.
So I don't know. I mean, Fantastic Four is like the obvious choice. But I think he's saying like main characters like Cap and Tony were. I would do like you could do Captain Marvel would be one.
Well, they were hinting at Captain Marvel, yeah.
Captain Marvel and
I can see Captain Marvel and Reed if they are going to go that route because we do know we're going to get the Fantastic Four before we get the X-Men. Other than the one we've gotten, but the full X-Men. They're just talking about getting them rolling in now. So I mean it's. Yeah, I could see Reed and I could see Captain Marvel and I could also see Bucky coming in because I got a feeling Bucky's going to end up, I think, at the end, getting the shield.
Yeah, the shield.
I think that's what the whole story is going to kind of roll around is Falcon. Yeah. Is he going to feel like he's good enough and strong enough and the right man for the job? And I think Bucky's just going to grab it.
That'd be a good one. Maybe we'll see Old Man Cap again.
Maybe. We should. Dirty Old Man. having sex with his niece.
Oh boy.
And Lennon, I'm not going to bring up your question, but I too am one of the few that was a fan of the Iron Fist series. So you're not alone, my friend. I got your back on that one. He was wanting to say that, you know, them coming back, and I know it'll never happen, but like I said, I want you to know I enjoyed it. Yes, it was an Iron Fist from the comic books, but I enjoyed.
Yeah, season 2 was better than season 1. That's all I can say. Yeah. I like season 2 better.
Yeah, season. Yeah,
but well, there wasn't a spread from season 1, so
yeah. So what, you got anything else on your list there?
No, that's all I got for this week.
That is it for me as well, guys. Make sure this week on Ham, our Heroes Asylum Midnight Movie, we are going to be doing Into the Spider-Verse. So that way, you guys, if you guys are interested in checking it out, we're kind of following in the not the theme of, yeah, the theme of the month with a Black History. So make sure you guys do check out. It's a fun movie, especially when Kane and I get into it. Well, I go off on a little tangent at the beginning. I thought about editing out the tangent.
No,
I left it. I left it. I was like, yeah, no, let that stay in there. And I can look like the idiot later. but last week we did do a movie review to one of my 90s Dirty Little Secrets, and I think Kane's Little Dirty Secrets, Mortal Kombat. With the announcement of the new Mortal Kombat movie dropping here within just a few months on HBO Max, Kane thought it was proper to go ahead and do that. So make sure you guys do check that out on our Heroes Asylum Midnight Movie page. You can find that at the same place for ours. You can go to the pod page or podpage.com/. Yeah. And you can find it there. And so that way you guys can check that out. That Kane's got, God, I think you're up to 80 shows right now, I think.
That's a lot.
Maybe, man. Yeah. You're up there. You're up there quite a bit. So there's a whole bunch of midnight movies and reviews there. And he's got a plan for the whole rest of the year, month laid out. The man's on his on point right now.
Got it all here. It's all scheduled out. I got some good stuff coming in, reviews and movie-wise, and I think you guys will enjoy it. We're going to put a couple polls, too, for Patreon, especially because I think we'll have a couple free weekends here and there. So
yeah,
movie and you guys want to join us, just send us a direct message or post on the Facebook page, and you know, maybe you'll jump in with us and talk some movies and
Have
some fun with cocktails. That's all we do. And
yeah, so make sure you guys do check out those pages, and you can also check us out on, like I said, our Facebook page. We are doing our daily, every day we on Facebook, we do run an event, like a little theme for each day. So make sure you guys do check that out. We always like to do some Throwback Thursdays, Friday Night Fights, where you guys can vote on who would win in a battle. And of course, my favorite is always Titan Tuesday. That Kane always comes up with something fun for that.
I always do. I always go deep dives. So if you guys are expecting Wonder Woman or Superman, no. We're going to introduce you some new characters, some deep dives. We do like Arm Fall Off Boy or whatever. So you'll see.
Yeah, you did drop that one time. I was like, what? All right, guys. Well, I hope you guys have a great week. Enjoy and be safe on Super Bowl. Don't try to go out and party too much. Try to stay home and watch the game. And we will see you guys next week. Kane?
Get to the asylum.